Sail day.
The country railway station was quite an important one, with a good passenger service, a busy goods shed, and a weekly sheep and cattle sale. The man at the helm was Station Master Benjamin Harris, known as Snuffy, because of the large amount of snuff he used to push up his nostrils. He was a large man with a bushy moustache that was joined at each end to mutton chop whiskers. A large gold chain fell in graceful curves from a buttonhole in his railway waistcoat to pockets on either side of his generous stomach. Two medallions clinked together on the chain, depicting athletic prowess of a much younger, much thinner Benjamin Harris. Benjamin's one indulgence was his snuff. It turned his moustache brown, fell down his waistcoat, and even stuck to the caps of his highly polished shoes on damp days. A lot of it got into his waistcoat pockets, too. Every time he went into the signal box, he would pull out his watch to check it with the box clock. His watch was a large bulbous affair with a hinged front and back. Much pressing of levers and screwing of knobs was needed to get it to match the slow, ticking box clock. It was generally acknowledged by all the staff, amidst much laughter, that "Out Snuffy's watch is so full of snuff the spring wanna push the whales round." If anyone else's watch stopped, it was said, "You've been standing too near Old Snuffy." He walked about in a constant cloud of snuff. A certain relief clerk used to dread being posted for holiday work at that station. He was allergic to the snuff, and every time the station master went into the goods office, he used to start sneezing. Benjamin Harris was a good station master, fair to his staff, and interested in the running of the railway. Sale days would find him at the cattle market a quarter of a mile from the station, talking to auctioneers, farmers, dealers, buyers, to get some business for the railway company. The station had cattle pens at the dock, a string of cattle wagons and an engine to shunt the full ones out and the empty ones in. The engine stood by every sale day. The station master, with his gold buttons and gold braid cap, was a popular figure, and his ever-open snuff box was good for business. Many gnarled, weather-beaten fingers and thumbs dipped into the box. It was a large and rectangular one, made of silver, and etched on the lid was a man ploughing with two Suffolk Punch horses. It was made out in great detail, including a tree and birds busily feeding on the newly turned furrows. The box was much admired by the country folk, and strangers were often invited to come and have a look at this masterpiece. It had belonged to Benjamin's late father, who had been the local policeman. Before that, its history was lost in time. You had only to listen to the great bursts of sneezing to locate the station master. Many orders were taken for conveying sheep and cattle to other country stations by rail. Numbers were calculated and allocated to cattle wagons. Part loads and their prices were much argued over between the dealers and the station master, some even agreeing amongst themselves to make part loads into fully loaded wagons. After much shouting, waving of arms, pencil sucking, and writing on bits of grubby paper, agreements were reached over the railway wagons. The next argument was over driving the flocks to the station. If two dealers got their cattle or sheep mixed on the way, there was chaos which caused endless running about to sort things out. Many hangers-on at the sale ground were engaged by the dealers for beer money, or more often free beer, as runners, that is, to help keep the animals together on the way to the station. One very hot summer day, the last large flock of very obstinate sheep would not go into the pens and ran amok down the station drive. After trying to get them in for half an hour, some sheep were still loose. The men all stopped by the pens, puffing and mopping their brows. They suddenly noticed one elderly man, retained by the dealers, lying on the railway bank.
"Look at old Legger, he's asleep," said one.
Legger, in his younger days, used to push the horse-drawn canal boats through the nearby tunnel, lying on an outstretched plank from the boat, on his back, and pushing with his legs against the tunnel wall. There was no towpath. The horses were led over the top. They shouted at Legger,
"Ay-up, ay-up!"
He even went over and shook him.
"Get up! Come on!"
was demanded, but to no avail. Running about in the hot sun, combined with large quantities of a strong local brewed ale known as brain damage, had laid him low. They all stood around him. His breathing became quite laboured. Everywhere else became quiet. The sheep had stopped their frantic baaing and began to graze on the railway bank. The driver and the fireman climbed down from the waiting engine in the siding and came over to see what they were all looking at. Legger, his eyes tightly shut, lay motionless.
"He looks as if he's dead," explained someone.
"He ain't moving much," said another.
"Get a bucket of water and chuck it over him,"
was heartlessly suggested. They shook Legger again, but there was no response. Alarm spread.
"We'd better tell old Snuffy."
"Ar, ar," they all agreed. So the junior porter, known as the lad, was sent to Snuffy's office. The station master was writing a letter to a farmer over a bill for hiring railway corn sacks. There was often argument over the amount owing. Sometimes the full sacks passed through two or three agents, or even another railway company, and explanations were long and tedious. A loud knocking came on the door.
"Come in,"
said Snuffy. The door opened. The lad stood there, puffing a bit, as he'd run all the way. A full blast of snuff met him.
"Can you come, Master Harris? Summer's up with old Legger."
The station master, glad of an excuse to get away from the tiresome letters, put his gold-braided hat on and strode out. As he approached the standing group, now joined by the signalman, they parted to let him through, and he gazed down on the recumbent Legger.
"What's he been doing?"
he asked sharply.
There was silence. Then a voice from the back said,
"He's had a belly full of ale, then run about in the hot sun."
With that sudden burst of information, they all looked at Station Master Harris expectantly. He, in turn, looked down at Legger.
He had to do something, he thought. He was in charge, the leader, the man at the wheel, the one to give the orders. They all turned to him whenever anything went wrong.
He took out his snuff box to give him time to think, tapped it, opened it, took a generous pinch and a mighty sniff. It shot straight to his brain, and enlightenment dawned. Snuff. That was it. He knelt down by the side of Legger, taking care to kneel in a clean patch of grass, still holding the snuff box. Then, with a thumb and forefinger loaded with a large helping of snuff, he proceeded to push it in Legger's nostrils. The snuffbox lid was clicked to. He stood up and brushed the bits of stray grass off his knees. They all waited in silence. A bell could be heard ringing in angry single strokes from the signal box, but the signalman could not tear himself away at that moment from the gripping drama he was witnessing. Legger's eyes flickered. He gave a little indrawn breath, then a longer one. His breathing became deeper. He gave a sniff, then another. His neck and face became a bright red. His mouth opened to take a shuddering indrawn breath, allowing his top set of teeth to fall and meet the lower with a loud click Then, from the back of his throat, it came.
Shoo!
The pressure was so great, it shot his ill-fitting teeth straight up into the air to fall in the grass behind his head.
Shoo!
It came again. Legger's body lifted up with the effort and thumped back onto the grass. A group of sheep that were quietly grazing nearby jumped straight up into the air and started to hurtle about like things thinking they were going to be shot at. 6 times the explosion rent the air. Then Legger sat bolt upright and said,
"God almighty!"
He gazed round him, looking like someone who'd just had a brick dropped on his head. He licked his parched lips and suddenly realized that he had a lot of empty space in his mouth.
"Me teeth!"
he cried in anguish. "I've lost me teeth!"
"They're in the grass," he was told. "Watch where you're treading," said one. "Dinna go and put your great feet on Legger's teeth."
The teeth were found, popped into his mouth, a mug of water sent for, and soon Legger was pronounced fit. The signalman went back to his ringing bells, the loco men to their engines, the dealer to round up the stubborn sheep. Another sale day was nearly at a close. Benjamin Harris, station master, strode back to his office, his reputation enhanced, his status somewhat higher, an acknowledged master of his station.